the Gemara above and Menalef. The Gemara has a strange statement that HaKadosh Baruch Hu miniach tefillin. What do you mean? The Ribbono Shel Olam doesn't have any body. How can it be miniach tefillin? Very strange. The Gemara has such a similar strange comment. The top line on Zayin Amud Aleph. Menalef HaKadosh Baruch Hu mispalel. The Ribbono Shel Olam prays. As it says, what do you mean? Who does he pray to? So Gemara says he prays to himself. What do you mean he prays to himself? Very strange Gemara. So we said over Rav Soloveitchik said that there are some mitzvahs that the Torah requires of us. The Ribbono Shel Olam requires of us to fulfill the 613 mitzvahs. Then there are some mitzvahs that the Ribbono Shel Olam requires of us as a form of fulfillment of the din of halachta v'drachov. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created us all, the Tzelem Elokim, and he commands us to preserve that Tzelem Elokim. We should go in the ways of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to preserve the Tzelem Elokim. And that's what the next pasuk continues to say. Baruch Alami Haaretz, Kishem Hashem Nikra Alecha. And the Ummah Sa'alim will see that we have succeeded in preserving the Shem Hashem. We have preserved the Tzelem Elokim that we have. And they could do the same thing. They were also created with Tzelem Elokim. We have Banim Lamok, and we have a deeper degree of Tzelem Elokim. But the Ummah Sa'alim also have Chaviv Adam Shenevi B'Tzal. So the pasuk concludes, V'yaru Mimekov, they will learn from us how they should act with Yirah Shamayim. We're supposed to serve as an Or LaGoyim. The Nabi Yishaya says Or LaGoyim, but it says in the Chumash, this pasuk, V'roh Kalam Heorts, and Dvarim Chavches, Kishem Hashem Nikra Alecha, they will see that we have succeeded in preserving our Tzelem Elokim, how so? By fulfilling V'alachta B'drocha, V'yaru Mimekov, they shall learn from us. So sometimes, Shmira Shabbos, it says in the Chumash that we should observe Shabbos because HaKadosh Baruch Hu rested when he created the world. What do you mean the Ribbono Shel Olam rested? He got exhausted from working 6 days. So Rashi HaChumash quotes the Lashon of the Medrash, Hichte Bi'atzmo Menucha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu dictated to Moshe Rabbeinu, write down in the Chumash that I rested on the seventh day. It's not true, but it's not a lie either. It's not a lie, but it's not true. It's not that Ribbono Shel Olam rested, he didn't work so hard. It's not the same way when you say a person works 6 days and he rests on Shabbos. Has a different connotation. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't mean that. Whatever it means, we're not sure exactly what it means. It means he created it on, and then from the 6 days on, he never created. It's not he rested for the seventh day, then he worked 6 days. He doesn't work 6 days a week and rest every seventh day. He created the whole world in 6 days, then he retired, period. Then he finished. He created the whole world. So it's not exactly the same at all. But Hichte Biatzma Menucha, he dictated to Moshe Rabbeinu, write that I rested on Shabbos, in order that we should go B'halachta B'drochov. We should know that observance of Shabbos is an aspect of B'halachta B'drochov. So that's probably the pshat here in this Gemara. Hichte Biatzma, that he wears tefillin. Hichte Biatzma, that he davens. That these two mitzvahs are singled out from all the other mitzvahs. Sitting in Sukkah, we don't have that. The Ribbono Shel Olam sits in Sukkah, that he shakes a lulav, that he does all the other mitzvahs. There are certain mitzvahs that are described, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does it, that to teach us, Hichte Biatzma, that he does these mitzvahs, that we should realize that by our observance of these mitzvahs, it's not only a fulfillment of the mitzvah, it's also a fulfillment of the halach b'drach, mainaf gemina. Anyway, we're going to do the mitzvah anyway. But that's apparently what the Gemara is saying. So the Gemara says, what does it say? What are the dalet parshiyas? We have Shema b'hayoyim, Shema kadesh b'hayoyim, what are the dalet parshiyas? So the Gemara says that just like we write Shema Yisrael Hashem Echad, Atem Asisuni Chativa Achaz Bo'elam, we say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is unique. Chativa Achaz means something unusual, nothing else like it, has it on the side. Dovra Nikir Shein Komoso, on the right hand margin, Dovra Nikir, something unique. So too, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has Dalet Parshiyos in his tefillin, so to speak. And the Dalet Parshiyos speak about the uniqueness of the Jewish people. Atem asisuni chativ achas boilam in your tefillin. Ani yas chativ achas boilam. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will put into his tefillin the parshiyos that speak about the uniqueness of Klal Yisrael. Ki mi goy gadol lo she'olo elokim. Asherech Yisrael. Ani Yisrael elokim. Sitcho elyon. And so on and so forth. So that's where Rav Soloveitchik pointed out on this Gemara that Rashi and the Rambam have two interpretations on the pasuk. Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echod. Rashi translates on Chumash. Hashem Elokeinu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, whom we accept as God. Right now the Ummah Sa'olam don't accept, but the day will come, Lo Sid Lava, then Hashem Echad. All the Ummah Sa'olam will accept the Ribbono Shel Olam as the God. Hashem Shehu Achshav Elokeinu, Lo Sid Lava, he will be Hashem Echad, he will be accepted by all the Ummah Sa'olam. The Rambam does not translate like that. The Rambam doesn't say that it goes, Hashem Shehu Achshav Elokeinu, Rambam says that the Pasuk is teaching us the principle of monotheism. We don't believe in the Trinity. We don't believe in all the Avodah Zarahs that the Greeks and the other Avodah Zarah, they had a God of light and a God of darkness and a God of good, a God of evil, a God of money, a God of everything, God of beauty, everything a different God. We believe Hashem Echad. And that's what we emphasize when we say the three parashas of Shema, each one has a bracha that corresponds to it. So in the Birkat of Kriya Shema, we spell out the themes of the three parashas of Shema. So in the first bracha in the morning, in Shacharis, we say Hashem Echad. So the corresponding bracha, we emphasize Kihul Avado. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one and only one who takes care of everything. Pahel Gburos, Asecha, Doshos, Ba'am, Melchama, Zariyat, Zakos, Matzmir, Peshuot, etc. That is one God who runs the whole world. Yetzirah, Baruchosh, Yechosh, Shalom, Vareyas, HaKol. He created everything, He controls everything, He's all alone, He does everything. So the Rambam learns Hashem Echad, monotheism, there's one God. So Rav Soloveitchik said from the Gemara would appear that there's a different pshat in Hashem Echad. Atem asisun chativa achas bo'ilam. Hashem Echad means that God is unique. Not that there's one God as opposed to a trinity, one God as opposed to many gods. We say that God is not like anything else in the world. Dabar hanikra shein kamoso. Memela, there's only one God. If you say that God is unique, there's nothing else like Him, nothing else that can be compared. So the Melech is only one God. If there would be more than one God, so He wouldn't be unique. So Rav Soloveitchik said that some have a practice, I think he means Lubavitch. I think he meant Lubavitch. Some have a practice that on Pesach night they don't sing Echad Miyodeah. Why not? So he said, because when you say Echad Miyodeah, you say who knows one, who knows two, who knows three. You're saying Echad Hashem Elokeinu Echad Elokeinu B'Shamayim V'Aretz. He's saying that there's one God as opposed to 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, all the way up until 13. So he said, that's not what it means, Hashem Echad. Hashem. The Rambam learns like that, monotheism. He said, Hashem Echad, according to the Gemara, means that God is unique. So it's a false interpretation of the word. So that's why there were those who were opposed to saying, Echad Miyodeah, because you're translating the word Hashem Echad in the simple sense that there's only one God, and it means something more than that. It means that Hashem Echad means that God is unique. Anyway, that's the famous Agarta. That the Ribbono Shel Olam wears tefillin, and in his tefillin, he has the corresponding parshios, corresponding to the four parshios that we have. We have Hashem Echad Atem Asisuni Chativa Achas Bo'olam. We declare that He is unique, and Ani Yaseschem Chativa Achas Bo'olam. Kadosh Baruch Hu will declare that the Jewish people are unique. All the Umos Olam have Tzelem Elokim, but only Klal Yisrael has the Ma'ila Bonim Lamokom. We are the Yama Nifcha. That's what it says in Tanakh. And I was attacked in the newspapers because I said we believe that we're the Yama Nifcha. That's what it says in the Bible. The Christians believe that they're the chosen nation because they say that we lost our chosenness when we rejected Jesus. So they say, based on what it says in the Bible, that they're the chosen nation. We don't accept Jesus, so we don't accept what the Christians say. So we remain what it says in the Bible. We are the Yama Nifcha. And what's wrong with saying that? That's what it says in the whole Tanakh. There's a famous interpretation of the tefillahs by, I think, Rav Levi Yitzchak Berditcheva has it in the Kedushas Levi. When we say slichas at the end of, towards the end of the slichas, so one of the slichas is Asei Leman Pi'ei Recha. What does it mean, Asei Leman Pi'ei Recha? So he interprets that the Pe'er, Pe'ercha Chavoy Shalecha, refers to tefillin. And we pray to HaKadosh Baruch, Asei Leman Pi'ei Recha. And your tefillin, it says, Mikam Chesol Gayechad Ba'aretz, that the Jewish people are suffering so much, so your tefillin apostle, you wrote in your tefillin that the Jewish people are everything is wonderful by the Jewish people. So if the Jewish people are suffering because of the pogroms and everything, so your tefillin apostle, so that's what we pray to HaKadosh Baruch, I say leman pi'ei recha, save the Jewish people, give us a Yeshua that your tefillin should be kosher, and your tefillin, it says that the Jewish people are something special. Anyway, this is a famous Agarata. The Ribbono Shel Olam is Miniach Tefillin. And the four parshas correspond to the four parshas that we have. Then we discuss the Tosfos, the Machlokes Rashi and Tosfos regarding the Kesher Shel Tefillin. Tosfos disagrees with Rashi. The Kesher Shel Tefillin is Halacha L'Moshe Mi'Sinai. But it doesn't say in the Gemara that the Tzuras Dalet and the Tzuras Yud is Halacha L'Moshe Mi'Sinai. That's where Rashi adds on. Tosfos says no. That's only with the Rabbanon. That there should be a Kesher, that's their rice. So where Sakesh is only the Rabbanan. So that's why Tosfos disagrees with Rashi Rashi translates, Rashi interprets in the Gemara, Baro kalame hoetz kishem Hashem nikra alecha v'yorim imecho, v'yorim imecho eile tefillin shebarosh. That's an additional level of interpretation in the pasuk. That's not the pashup shot. So the Rashi comments, why is that referring to tefillin shebarosh? Kishem Hashem nikra alecha, that the tefillin, if you put together the shal yad with the shal rosh, you have the shem Hashem, shin dalet yud, so two-thirds, the Shin and the Dalet, two-thirds of the Shem Hashem of Shin Dalet Yud appear in the Tefillin Shel Rosh, because you have the Shin on the Bais and you have the Dalet on the Kesher. So that's two-thirds of the Shem Hashem. And the Yud is on the Kesher Shel Yad. So Tosis thinks that that's not the Pshat. Tosis thinks that the Dalet with the Yud is only with the Rabbanon. The Shin is Halacha Moshe Mesina. That there should be a Kesher is Halacha Moshe Mesina. But the Tzur is a Kesher, that's only with the Rabbanon. Tosis proves it from the Gemara, and they claim that they prove it from the Gemara by my Madlik. Okay, that we discussed last time. The Gemara on the top of Amud Beis has also a famous agarat. Amar Rabbi Yitzchok kol harogalov lebeis haknesses for lebo yamechot. A person is in the habit of davening in shul. It's a good habit. And one day he doesn't show up. Hakadosh Baruch Hu mashal boy. If he's not in the habit of coming to shul, so it sounds like the Rabban Shalom doesn't ask where is he. He's never here anyway. But if he's rogalov lebeis haknesses, he's in the habit and the good habit of coming to shul every day, Kadosh Baruch Hu asks where is he. And if he doesn't have a good excuse, if he went ledvar mitzvah, so no galo, so he'll get away with it. He won't be punished. However, im ledvar shusam nolach, if he went for a purpose other than ledvar mitzvah, ain no galo. Then he's going to be punished for not showing up in shul. So what's the pshat in the Gemara? It only applies to one is rogalov lebeis haknesses. If the guy never goes to shul, so he won't be punished for not coming to shul. But if he's in the practice of coming to shul, he's in a good habit. So then it's it has a tshuva where he explains, and the Meshul Dov, he explains the pshat. There is a Gemara in the first parak and in the second parak in the Dorim, where the Gemara says that this is quoted in Yeruday, that minik toiv is binding mitam neder midirabonon. There's a Mishnah that says that if a person takes a certain neder, it's an isa bal yachal. So the Gemara says, what kind of bal yachal? That neder is not valid. The Gemara says, but midirabonon, you have to act as if the neder is binding. The Gemara says, there is such a thing as bal yachal midirabonon. Bayachal is a pasuk in Chumash. If it doesn't apply, it doesn't apply. Gemara says there is bayachal mid rabbanon. As we have a brisa, dvarim hamutorim. If something is strictly speaking is mutav, acher nogabo isur, and there's a minig, either private minig or a minig of the family or a minig of the kehillah, that people are knowing that something is usur, and it's a minig toiv. It's a minig that makes good sense. Not some a minig to stand on your head. You only carry singles. You never carry $5. Why is that a minig toiv? It's not a minute. The guy always stands on his head. If it's healthy for your blood circulation, okay, so it's a minute type. But if the doctors have not yet declared that standing on your head every day for 2 minutes is healthy, so it's not a minute shtus. But if it's a minute type, so then the Gemara says it's binding mitam neder midirabon. It can't be binding him in Atar. He didn't say, in order for a neder to be binding, I have to have nefesh kisishova levati biswasam. You have to pronounce it with your lips. The original pasuk says by shvua. And most of the Rishonim assume that it applies to neder as well. So neder of a shvuah that the person is chisha belibo is not binding, unless it's a neder le havi korban to the Beis Hamikdash that the pasuk says kol nedib lebay leseviu. Those who had taken a neder believed to bring a korban oil to the Beis Hamikdash were obligated to bring. That's a pasuk in Divrei Yomim that the Gemara quotes in Masechta Shvuos. So the Rabbeinu Tam assumes that pasuk is not limited only to kol nidiv leboilus, doesn't only apply to bringing a korban, it applies to any dvar mitzvah, an outright mitzvah. Person takes a goma beliba, he makes up in his mind, he's going to learn daf yomi, or he's going to learn every morning before the davening, or something like that. He's mekabel a neder belev, so if it's a neder, the dvar mitzvah is binding. Min haTorah. What if he has he makes up in his mind, midas chasidus, some kind of midas chasidus. So strictly speaking, that's not called a neder l'dvar mitzvah. But if it's a minik toiv, so then midrabbanan, it's binding mitam neder. It's not binding manatar, it's binding midrabbanan. So the Netziv interprets that that's what the Gemara means. Kol haroga lova l'beis haknesses. If a person is in the good habit of davening in shul every day, if he's not in the habit, so he never... He says that strictly speaking, one is not obligated to daven in the shul. We had the Gemaras and the Babli and the Yerushalmi that ain't vilos and shaladim nishmas ala bebeis haknesses shenem al shmoel arina ve'al atfila. That's the middle of Vav Amin Aleph. We learned it last week. And Yerushalmi comments on the pasuk Dirush Hashem Dehimotza. Dehimotza means in Beis Haknesses, the place where you stand a better chance of finding HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the whole purpose of tefillah is that the prayer should be answered. So if you stand a better chance of having a prayer answered, if you daven and shul, you daven mitzibah. So it makes sense, you daven and shul, you should daven mitzibah. Should daven and shul even be yachid, it says, you should daven mitzibah if it's not in shul. Preferable is to daven and shul mitzibah, but even one without the other is also a mila. But strictly speaking, that's what the Achranim say, strictly speaking, it's not an absolute chiyuv. There is no din that you're absolutely mechuyev to daven and shul and to daven mitzibah. It's just that it makes sense. The whole purpose of davening is that you want your prayers to be answered. So if we know from the Tanakh that you stand a better chance, so you should daven and shul. So the Gemara says that that constitutes a minik toiv. That's how the Netziv interprets. Kola rogalo for the Beis HaKnesses. If a person is in the habit of davening and shul all the time, so that becomes binding mitam neder. Minik toiv is binding mitam neder. And one day he doesn't show up, but like boy, yom echor, he doesn't show up in shul, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, mashul boy. If he's not in the habit of coming to shul, nisht is nisht. So the Baruch Shalom is not going to punish him. But if he is in the habit, he started this minik toiv, he was makabel upon himself. So then it's binding become nether. So if he violates the nether, the Rabbanu Shalom is going to keep a cheshman. How come he doesn't show? Kodesh Baruch Hu Mashal Boy. So what's gonna be the end of the story? Im ledvar mitzvah halach, if there was a pressing mitzvah that's in conflict with his davening and tefillah b'tzibur, he has a date. Okay? So sometimes you have to miss tefillah b'tzibur, not to go out on a date. Where you going to take off in the middle of the day to daven mincha, ma'ariv and shul? So you can't, you have no choice. If a person went, whatever the divine mitzvah is, if a person, single people have different mitzvahs and married people have different mitzvahs. So if a person goes, I remember once one of the rabbanim sent me out of town that I should meet a girl, so he said, Herschel, make sure you don't be makbid all the time on tefillah v'tzibur. If you have to go out with the girl, so you daven tefillah v'yach. Okay, so that's the moshul that I get. Okay. So the Gemara says, if he went with the divine mitzvah, that's why he missed the tefillah v'tzibur or tefillah v'beis haknesses. So whenever a minik toiv, that's what the Netziv interprets, whenever the minik toiv is in conflict with the mitzvah, then you're not mechuyev to observe the minik toiv. But if he went with dvar hoshus, so then he's in violation of the minik toiv. So then the Rebbeinu Shlom is gonna hold him in violation of the minik toiv. So we mentioned that the Kesef Mishnah has such a comment on the Rambam in Hilchas Korban Pesach. The Rambam wrote that when you shef the Korban Pesach in the Beis HaMikdash, so this is din, Rosh Al Kuro Val Kirba. You have to broil the whole Korban Pesach intact. You're not supposed to slice it up into lamb chops and then broil each lamb chop separately. L'chatchid is supposed to broil the whole Korban Pesach together, but there's certain parts of the animal that you can't broil together. You have to rip out the chuti hadam. You zorek the dam on the mizbeach of the Korban Pesach. Then if you'll broil the whole Korban Pesach the way it is, broiling substitutes for salting meat. You have to get out the blood. So the din is that if you broil the meat, strictly speaking, you don't have to salt it. L'chatchila, we do malicha mu'etas. Even when you broil meat, you do a little malicha. But mi'ikir adin, you really don't need it. Let's say a person forgot. A person broiled the meat and he didn't salt it at all. So the din is that b'di'evet, it's kosher anyway. So on the Korban Pesach, you don't have to salt the Korban Pesach that you're gonna broil. You're going to broil the whole Korban Pesach, fine. All the dam will drip down. However, that's the blood and the capillaries will come out. Let's say when you salt the flesh, you get out the blood and the capillaries will be removed. The blood and the big arteries and the big veins, that blood is not going to come out. You can salt from today till tomorrow. It's a bottle of blood over there. So that blood is mamish dam b'yed. So dam b'yed, you have to wash off the flesh before you salt it. If you're going to salt the meat and it has blood on the surface, so dam b'yed doesn't come out with melicha. You have to first rinse it off to remove all of the dam b'yed, and then the salting is good for the blood and the capillaries. That's called dam ha'ivarim. Dam ha'ivarim, the malicha helps. So the Rambam writes, before you broil the Korban Pesach, you have to broil the whole Korban Pesach intact. But before you broil it, a little bit violet. You can't broil it 100% intact. You have to cut out the big veins and the big arteries. Because if you broil it the way it is, you'll be broiling it with the dam. So it'll make everything trace. It'll have a bli of dam. And then the Rambam says you have to cut out the chelev. You have to burn the chelev on the mizbech. But aside from the chelev and the chuti hadam, you leave the whole Korban Pesach the way it is and you broil it. Then the Rambam says, and if they broil the Korban Pesach, before you're about to eat it, you slice it. Then before you're about to eat it, you have to make sure you cut out the gidah nasha, because you're not allowed to eat the gidah nasha. So the Ravid is masig on the Rambam in his style. So he has a special style of writing. So he says, if I would be there in the Beis HaMikdash and this man, the Rambam, would bring this Korban Pesach, I would throw it on the floor and tell him he's not allowed to eat it. It's Asur, because he brought the Korban Pesach, but to get on Asher, he made the whole thing treif. What's the matter with him? Just like he says, you have to take out the Chutei Chelev. The Chelev and the Chutei Chelev and the Chutei Dam. In advance, you have to take out the Gedan Asher. If you leave in the Gedan Asher, make everything treif. So that's the right of Tassog. So the Kesem Mishnah always comes, he tries to defend the Rama. So he says, the Raiva Tassog is not insurmountable. The Kasha is not that impossible to answer. There is a machloikus satanoim, where the yesh begin b'noi satam, or ain't begin b'noi satam. Where the gira nosha is considered kibosar, and I apply tam kiker. Let's say I cook a gira nosha with milk. Is there a prohibition of basar b'cholav or not? So one time it says, yesh begin b'noi satam. The gira nosha is considered like basar, and you cook it with milk, it's considered basar b'cholav. And we pass an ain't begin b'noi satam. We pass in the gira nosha is not, it doesn't have enough tam. That it should be dinu kibasar, and it's considered ke'etz bi'alma. That's the lashon ha'gemar. Etz bi'alma. It's inedible material, and it doesn't create the basar b'cholav. Then the gemara says further, forget about basar b'cholav. I'll cook a side of an animal with I'll cook a leg of the animal with the gidan nasha in it. So will the gidan nasha make treif the rest of the meat? So you should say you need shishim to be mevatlet. So that's if you hold yesh begidim in ois and tam. So the Gidan Nosha will asa the rest of the flesh. That's the din of Tam Kiker. But we pass Ganem begidim in Isa Tam. So can't asa with Nesinas Tam. Doesn't have any Nesinas Tam. So but yeah, but it doesn't make trade. Lachat Chili, you're not supposed to cook meat with the Gidan Nosha in it. But yeah, but it doesn't, that's a Mishnah. Yerach Shen is Bashal Begidoy. If I cook the whole side of the animal with the Gidan Nosha, so there's a Machlekes Satanayim in the Mishnah and Per Gidan Nosha in the end of Chulam. We pass Ganem, it doesn't asa. So the Kesem Mishnah says that's the Teretz on the Rambam. Normally you should always remove the Gidan Nosha before you cook any kosher meat with the Gidan Nosha, because you may forget later on. But by Korban Pesach, there's a special mitzvah, Rosh HaKrov HaKirba, to broil the whole Korban Pesach, when the whole thing is intact. So you should leave the Gidan Nosha in when you broil it, and only take it out afterwards. But then the Kesem Mishnah asks the next kasha. The writer doesn't explain what's difficult. The writer just asks the treif. You can't eat the whole Korban Pesach, the whole thing is treif, because he broiled it with the Gidan Nosha. So the Kesem Mishnah says the first kasha about the Gidan Nosha, the Teretz says ain't begin b'nois and tam. So b'di'evet it doesn't make trei. He knows normally l'chatchili should remove it, but by the Korban Pesach there's a special mitzvah Rosh HaKrov HaKibah. So you leave it in l'chatchili till after you broil it. But then the Kesem Mishnah asks the kasha, what about the Shuman Hagid? What about the Shuman Hagid? The Gemara says ain't begin b'nois and tam. That goes on the Gidan Nosha itself. Min HaTorah only the Gidan Nosha is also. But Midi Rabbanon, that's what it sounds like in the Gemara. Midi Rabbanon, they prohibited even the fat that's on top of the Gidan Asher. It's also awesome, Midi Rabbanon. So Shuman Agid is nice and tam. So why does not make trade to Korban Pesach? So Tosis in Chulin asks that Kasha in the Mishnah, Gidan Asher. It says, Yerach and his Bashal Begidoy. I have a whole Yerach HaBehema. I have a whole side of an animal, a whole leg, a leg of an animal. And I cook the leg with the Gidan Asher. So the Mishnah says it doesn't make treif because ain't begid the benos and tam doesn't, you don't apply tam kiker. So Tosfos asks the kasha, that's nicha on the gid on asher itself. What about the shuman agid? So Tosfos has two terus. So one terus Tosfos says is that since shuman agid is only asim in the rabban gzera atu gid, there's a question: shuman agid is asim in the rabban atu what? It's also atu chelev or it's also atu gid? So Tosfos claims asim in the rabban on gzera atu gid on asher. So since the original Gidan Nosha Min HaTorah is aimed to Gidan B'nois and Tam, the Gidan Nosha doesn't Asa based on Tam Ki Iker, so the Shuman Agid, which they Asa the fat on top of the Gidan Nosha, it goes along the whole leg with the same place where the Gidan Nosha goes, is next to it. So the Shuman Agid, which is only Asa the Rabban Zero Otto Gidan Nosha, also doesn't Asa B'nois Tam. Even though Mitzisa does give B'nois and Tam, the whole thing is only Asa the Rabban, so they never introduced the Chumrah of Tam Ki Iker, because the whole thing is up to Gidan Nosha. Gidan Nosha, there's no din of Tam Ki Iker, so they never introduce Shai. So that's one opinion of Tosfos. So in Shulchan Aruch, we don't accept that opinion. The accepted opinion is that even though the Gidan Nosha itself does not Asa B'nissinus Tam, but the Shuman Agid does Asa.
Is it really because it's a Gezerah and a Gezerah really? Or because really the Gid itself is Ech Ba'almas, so therefore, I'll be thin, it's not Asa.
No, the Gid Anoshi is also in a Torah to eat. Eitz b'alma hu b'Torah hasrasa.
It
doesn't give him the Tinas time at all. It's not even with the Rabbanon it does nasa. It's not a gzeir with a gzeir. Even with the Rabbanon the Gid Anoshi does nasa b'shishin. Does nasa at all. So since the Shuman Agid is also with the Rabbanon otu Gid, and Gid itself there's no din of Tam Ki Iker, so Tosis has one opinion and never introduced the gzeir of the Rabbanon on Shuman Agid. So that's not the accepted opinion. 2 days and Tosis, that's not the accepted thing. We have paskin la locha that even though the Gid Anoshe does not aser, ain't the Gid Menes and Tam doesn't aser, but Tam ki Iker, but the Shemar Gid does aser. This came up halacha lemaisa a couple of years ago. There was some big organization was going to have a big banquet somewhere, Chinuch Atzmai or Aguda, I don't know, some shul or something, going to have their annual banquet. And they were going to have their banquet in the same caterer, the same hall with the same kelim that the Boy Scouts of America or something like that. Some Goyish organization was going to have their banquet. So they needed to use the same kelim that had a kasher on the same day. So how can you kasher? You always have to wait till Lola Kelim Aina Ben Yoma in order to do Hagol on the pots and pans. So they were going to have the Goyish company, they were going to have the Boy Scouts, they were going to buy blood kosher meat. The caterer was going to serve glatt kosher meat for the Boy Scouts, so there wouldn't be any problem of kosher. The only thing is that they didn't want to have the Gid Anoshe cut out. They wanted to be able to serve the whole piece of meat. I don't know what a Gid Anoshe looks like. I don't know what the leg is supposed to look like with the Gid Anoshe. They didn't want to have anything cut out. So that was the problem, that we pass in Lalocha, even though the Gid Anoshe doesn't ask for the Yevet, but the Shumar Agid does ask for the Yevet. So that was the problem, so they couldn't do it. They couldn't solve the problem by having them serve everything glatt kosher by the goyisha function, because they wanted to have the whole leg with the Gid Anoshe intact. And we passed them that even though the Gid Anoshe does naser and Gid Menes and Tam, but the Shuman Agid does naser. So the Kesem Mishnah is still stuck with the Rambam. True, the Gid Anoshe does naser the Korban Pesach, there's no Tam Kika, but the Shuman Agid should naser. So the Kesem Mishnah comes up with the following answer, which is quoted la'alocha by the Prima Gadol in Yeridah. He says, the Gemara never said that they asked it with the Rabbanim. The Gemara says, the Shuman Agid is Mutam Men HaTorah. And then the Gemara has a lashon, V'Yisrael Kedoshim Nagu Bo Issam. The holy Jewish people introduced the Minig. He says, it doesn't say in the Gemara that they asked it with the Rabbanim. They asked me Tam Minig, V'Yisrael Kedoshim Nagu Bo Issam. So it's a lower level of an Issa. It's not an Issa midirabbanon, it's only an Issa mitam minig. So he says, all year long, we say that the Shuman Agid is also mitam minig, so it makes everything else treif. If you cook it with something else, makes it treif. On Erev Pesach, you have a dilemma. You're faced with a conflict. On the one hand, you're supposed to broil the whole Korban Pesach, Rosh Al Krov, Al Kibah, but you have to broil everything together. Chutei Hadam, you have to remove, it'll make everything treif. So you have no choice. And the chaylev and the chutei chaylev, the chaylev you burn on the mizbech, and even the chutei chaylev that you don't burn on the mizbech, but you have to remove it, otherwise it'll make everything treif. But the shuman hagid, since it's not osir min haTorah, it's not even osir min the rabban, it's only osir mitam minig. So you're not allowed to, if it's only a minig, and here the minig is in conflict with the real din being Rosh Al Krov Al Kirboy. It's supposed to broil the whole Korban Pesach with everything intact. So if you'll remove the Shuman Agid to fulfill the minig, to observe the minig will cause you to violate the din of Rosh Al Korov Al Kirboy. So once a year on Erev Pesach, everybody had to violate the minig of eating Shuman Agid. They had to broil the Korban Pesach with everything intact, and the Shuman Agid was nice and tam in the whole Korban Pesach. And after they broiled it, then they would cut out the Gid Anoshe. Then they would cut out the Shuman Agid. They wouldn't eat the Gid or the Shuman Agid. You're not allowed to eat it. But the Beliyah, then the Nesinah's time that it gave, the Kes Mishnah says, everybody violated the Minig on Leil Pesach, because whenever the Minig is in conflict with the real Din, so the Din takes precedence over the Minig.
The Kes Mishnah himself has this?
That's what he writes in Hilchos Korban Pesach, towards the end of Hilchos Korban Pesach, when he comes to defend the Rambam from the Hasog of the Raibid. So the Raibid said he forgot to remove the Gid Anoshe. And the Rambam says, and after you broil it, then you cut out the Gid Anoshe with the Shuman Agid. So why doesn't he remove it before? So the Kesem Mishnah says you're not allowed to, because it's not even a Din Midi Rabbanon. If it would have been a bona fide Din Midi Rabbanon, okay, so Midi Rabbanon, you have no choice. You have to violate the Din of Rosh HaKorov Al Kirba. But he says it's not even a din midrabban. It's only Yisrael kedoshim noga bo iser. So whenever you have a minig that comes in conflict with a mitzvah, with a real din, you have to observe the din. That's what no one would have known this case of Mishnah. Rav Gusman has a sefer on kiddushin. At the end of the sefer on kiddushin, he has a whole essay that sometimes women are unable to conceive. Married women are unable to conceive because their period is short and their ovulation takes place before they go to mikvah. So what can you do? They have to observe Shivin Akim. So he says, when Shivin Akim is a din midrabbanan, so you got a problem. But sometimes the waiting, the 5 days, but the 7 days, some of that is sometimes only a minute. It's not always a real din. So he says you have to investigate each and every individual case. In some cases, when you're just dealing with a minig, and the minig is going to be in conflict with the real din of Piriverivya, so then he says you rely on this case of Mishnah. When the minig is in conflict with the real din, so then the din takes precedence. So that's how the Netziv interpreted this Gemara also. Kol haroga lova lebeis haknesses v'lo yibo, means if he's in the habit of coming, that's a minig toiv. A minig toiv is binding mitam neda, but only mit the rabbanon. It's not a real neda in Atar, it's only a neda mit the rabbanon. So if he went l'dvar mitzvah, so then he's off the hook, he's okay. But if he went l'dvar ashuas, then he'll be held responsible for having violated his minik type. That's the klal in the Gemara.
Yeah, but doesn't the Gemara say that the Chumash Rav Zera is Allah Hapsuka and not just the minik? How does Rav Gusman work with all that?
Some cases, no, we happen, no. But nice itself, Miralas and Shafi the Rice, Tibas Dam, Kahazi, also Shivanikim. That's a machlekes, the Ravid and the Ramban. Whether the Zman Azed did it become a din with the Rabban, we paskin is still only a minik. That's still only a minik. That's in Yeridea. And Hilchas Ksamim and Tlias by the Ksamim. So the Shach points out that we paskin is still only a minik. It didn't become a din with the Rabban. No, but sometimes. That's if the woman only has a riyaz dam one day, tibasan kechal. If the woman has a riyaz dam 3 days in a row, that's a real din. That's a din by the rabbanon that she needs shibinikim. But to wait 5 days and then 7 days, a part of the 5 days may only be by the rabbanon. They may be able to chisel off a day or two. In each case, you have to figure out, are you dealing with a real din de araisa? Are you dealing with a real din de rabbanon? Are you dealing just with a minute?
But Piri Verbia is the obligation of the man, so maybe it's the woman's responsibility to serve her minig, and the man has to find a wife that can observe the minig.
Maybe, okay. So Rav Gusman is a mekel. Okay.
Machlokes Rambam Ravid is whether it's a din or a minig, shemanagid, or whether minig.
The Ravid doesn't explain. The Ravid just attacks. The Rambam, he says, how can he brought the Korban Pesach with the Gid Anoshim? So the Gid Anoshim, the Kes Mishnah says, that's tam no kash, because ain't the Gid Menos and tam, doesn't make trek. But the shaila is the shuman agid. So that, for that, the Kesem Mishnah gives us derech. That the shuman agid is not even awesome in the rabbanon.
Would this idea of violating a minhag for a mitzvah apply even for mitzvahs the rabbanon?
Yeah. Some. Yeah, this is the last rivet in Hilchas Korban Pesach. It's in Perek Yud. Halacha Yud Aleph. The imeske, if I should live so long, v'oichal Pesach, and I'll be zeichet to eat the Korban Pesach, v'yobi lefanai bozeh, and they'll bring me such a Korban Pesach, ha'isi chof to bekarka lefano. I'll throw it on the floor and tell him he's not allowed to eat. Eini segodol mizeh, she'itzla Korban Pesach, and with the gid anoshim, with the shuman agid, with the tarba, whoa, he gets all excited. That's the last hasogas arriving in Hilchas Korban Pesach, and the kes mishnah is on the side, and the prima godin quotes this lalo, and he thinks that is the accepted shita, like the Kesem Mishnah, the Shumar Agid is not even awesome in the Rabbanon, it's only awesome mitam minig. Sometimes people are so hung up on the Midas Chasidus, you have to have everything in proper perspective. Sometimes your Midas Chasidus is a violation of a real din. You have to know what's a real din and what's not. You must have mentioned the Rishonim are bothered with Akasha. It says when Yosef was freed from prison by Galach by Chalev Simloisov, that he was in prison for a long time. So and then the king wanted him to interpret his dreams. So he took a shave and he took a haircut and he wore normal clothes instead of wearing prisoner's clothes, and he went to the king's palace. So the Rishonim is that the Gemara says that for Rosh Hashanah, Yosef HaTzadik was freed from prison on Rosh Hashanah. So on Rosh Hashanah, Yosef HaTzadik took a haircut. How can he allow that? Everybody knows Rosh Hashanah, you don't take a haircut. So the Chasam Sofer has in his drasha Salat Torah, he says, taking a haircut when you go visit the Melech, that's a real din, out of Koida Malchus. Not doing Melochan Rosh Hashanah, Koida Matan Torah, that's a Midas Chasidus. The others volunteered, Kimo Kola Tarukul Achelon Nidda. That's a Midas Chasidus. What do you mean? You're so hung up on your Midas Chasidus, you're going to violate a real din. The real din requires that you have to add a koyda malchus. You have to take a haircut before you go visit the melech. I have a lot of cases like that where people get so involved in the midas chasidus that they already lose the whole perspective.
Doesn't the Chasam Sofer have a tshuva where he says that by a suffix milah you would go to chumrah?
Yes.
So how does that?
The pischei tshuva on simon, that simon, and you're there, Reish Yudalad, about the simon that one has to observe minhagim because a minig is binding mitam neder, so he's attacking the reform. So the reform first started by doing away with minhagim. So he says, even though a suffix the rabbanon lekula, but a suffix minig is luchum, because a minig is binding mitam neder, and neder is a diminator. So the Pischei Tshuva and Yeridea quotes that from the Tshuva's Chasam Sofer. That's very difficult because the Chasam Sofer himself writes in many other Tshuvas just the reverse. He writes the normal way, that a minig is lower than a din derabbanan. It's not the same as a din derabbanan.
What does it mean it becomes a neder derabbanan? What happened? Is it a minig or is it a neder? It's a neder derabbanan, so it's no more a minig. It's even more. I should think it's a nisim derabbanan once it becomes a neder. Is it a yachal derabbanan?
Abal Yachlam
Ad Rabbanon. So why do we not call it a din? It's a
but it's lower than another din derabbanan. Another din derabbanan the Chachamim initiated. And this is only Abal Yachlam Ad Rabbanon. Mishum Mestam is a Abal Yachlam Mishum Arisayim. It's not a real Abal Yachlam. That's what the Gemara relates it. The Gemara says if a man takes an eder, his wife should be also to him like Chazer. So that's a hatfasa b'davar ha'asa. A hatfasa b'davar ha'asa is not a good hatfasa. So that we should tell them the neder is not binding, and you can live with your wife. So the Mishnah says that we require hataras and dar. What do you need hataras and dar for? We should just say it's not chal. So the Gemara says because lechumra midirabbanon. It says bal yachal. No, it's only bal yachal midirabbanon. Make believe bal yachal. The Gemara quotes this memre. Devar ha'matar machem nagu behemister yata rasha lahatir mefneh. It's like Abraham Arisayin a Hashash. It's not a real Bal Yachal Medirabbanan. It's a Hashash Medirabbanan that we insist you have to be matir. But that's Mekubal in the Poskim, that an Issa that's only Yosem Itam Minig is a lower level of an Issa Dirabbanan. It's not even as Chomer as a real Din Dirabbanan. And the Chasam Sofer himself and most of the Tshuvas writes like that. So they have a whole literature now, how to be Miyashiv, the steer in the Tshuvas of the Chasam Sofer. Most of the time, the Chasam Sofer writes the normal way, that something that's also mitam meaning is lower level of a din derabbanan. And here he writes that it becomes a din deraisa, which is against the Gemara. The Gemara beferish that it's only by Yachal Midirabbanan. Then the Gemara said, if Baruch Shalom comes to the shul and there's no minyan, Yagu Koyis. Minyan is not there on time. Comes 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock, whatever, 7:40. Minyan is not there. Yagu Koyis. Madu Abbasavi Einish. Yeah. World of the stories, we should all come to Minyan on time. Okay. We should really come early to the Minyan. The person doesn't come on time to the Minyan. He shows that the davening is not so important to him. Other things he does come on time. Then the Gemara speaks about the importance of HaKaveh HaMakom L'Tfilosoi. Just like Avraham Avinu, it says, Vayashkem Avraham HaBoker LaMakom Shamat Sham Bein Amin Ela Tfilo Shenema, etc. So Avraham Avinu was Kaveh HaMakom L'Tfilosoi. So we should do the same. What's the significance of being kaveh makom l'tvilosai? So the Poshib Shad one would have said, Poshib Shad one could have said, is that if every time you're going to daven in a different place, you're going to be, your attention is going to be distracted. You're going to look at the paintings on the wall. You're going to look at the plaque on the wall, the color, the cracks in the wall. If you daven in the same place all the time, so you got used to it already. So you already know, you've already, your mind was your attention was diverted the first 10 times you daven there. I'm sure you're already used to this. There's nothing new to see. That's the Poshib Shad. But then the Gemara says a different reason. Ukishemeis, when such a person dies, the one who is Kaveh Makom L'Tfilosai, they should mention in the Hesped, Hei Chassid, Hei Onav Hei Chassid, Metalmidu Shal Avraham Avinu. What's the anivus? Where do you see any humility in this? What has it got to do with humility? So the Tzlach interprets in the Gemara that when a person is kaveh makom l'tfilos, this is taken as a sign of humility, because he probably has in mind that his prayers are not worthy of being answered. So he wants that he should pray in the same place, so the tefillahs that he offers today should be mitzuruf with the tefillahs that he offered yesterday, the day before, the day before, the day before, and the schus of all the tefillahs altogether should be answered. He's such an anav, he's humble, so he feels that he's not worthy of having his prayers answered, but he wants all of the tefillahs to be mitzuruf with all the other tefillahs. So that's the pshat in the Gemara. When he dies, they mention this in his hesped, hey anav, hey chasim, mitamid of shalom avinu, that this is an indication of anivus, of humility. It's an interesting pshat that the Tzlach has on our daf.
Kaveh
amakom letfilosa? No, that's a din. You're supposed to, if you can, you should be kaveh amakom letfilosa. We assume kaveh amakom doesn't mean the exact same seat. We assume within Dalaram, this is also called the kviyas makom. Somebody sitting in my seat, I can sit in the next seat behind them, in front of them. If it's within Dalaram, it's also called the same makom. If one, the Gemara talks about that, not to have davar mafsik, ben ola ben akir, yeah.
So if he normally davar in front of the wall,
davar in front of the same crack in the wall, all the time, the same place, within Dalaranis, yeah. Should always try to davar in the same location, approximately the same location. Then the Gemara says, when a person finishes davening, hayyotzim ibeis haknesses, hal yapsiya psiya gasa, he shouldn't run out. If he runs out, he's demonstrating that the whole davening was like a masoi. Should walk out slowly. If he has to make a train, then make a plane, okay, so walk out slowly and then start to run. But he shouldn't run out of the shul. Then the Gemara says, lomar ne'ala lemeipak, when he's leaving, avnameel, when he's going to shul, mitzvah lemirat, he should run. As it says, v'neida nirdefol adas es Hashem, he should all run. Rav Zera has a comment. Used to see the Bachrim, the Talmidim, were running to a shir on Shabbos, and he thought that that's a violation of the mitzvah of Shabbos. The pasuk in Yeshaya says, "The karas of the Shabbos son of Kedosh Hashem mechuber." How does it say there? Me'asos derachecha. The Gemara says, "Hey, hiluchel shal Shabbos, hiluchel shal chol." You're not allowed to walk on Shabbos the same way you walk on the weekdays. So even on the weekdays you run, so on Shabbos you should walk without running. So originally when I saw the Talmidim, Rabbanan, the Talmidim from the Yeshiva, they were running to the Shir on Shabbos, they're running to the Seder on Shabbos, I thought they're in violation of Me'asos Derachecha, Shalayeh Yiluchel Shal Shabbos, Ki Yiluchel Shal Chol. But then he heard that it's a mitzvah, Loretz L'dvar mitzvah, Afilu B'Shabbos Shenemar. So then, not only did I see that they're right, I adopted the practice myself. I also run to shul. So on Shabbos, you're not allowed to run unless you're running with Dvar Mitzvah, unless you're late for Minyan, or you're late for the Seder, late for Shir. So then it's Mutter to run, it's a mitzvah to run. Once the Gemara is talking about running, so the Gemara says, Agra de Pirko, the main schar that a person gets for attending a Shir is the Ruato. We're assuming he's going to forget the Shir. He's probably going to forget the Shir. So what great schar does he deserve for listening to a shir? He's going to forget it. The answer he's going to get. He deserves a lot of schar for the running to the shir. Agra de Kala Duchkot. Kala used to be the public shir they used to have before Pesach and before Sukkot. Twice a year they had the public shiurim. So the main reward that people, again, people are probably going to forget the shir, but they'll remember that it was very crowded. So the main reward that they get for participating in the public shiurim and the Kala, Yom HaDekala, is the Duchkot. Is that they were sitting all kikvetch together, and it was uncomfortable. So that's the main schar is for the side point, the duchka. Agra de shmaita is svara. A person works hard to try to figure out pshat in the taisis. So mistamne, after a week or two, he'll forget the whole taisis, forget what was difficult. But his mind will have developed, so he'll walk away with a straight head. He'll know how to approach another taisis. He'll know how to approach another gemara. Agra de shmaita svar, the main schar that a person gets for working hard and learning is svar.
These are all secondary.
Yeah.
even the svara is a secondary thing.
Yeah.
Havana is the really the ideal.
Yeah, to know what it says in the Tosfos. But the truth of the matter, the Tosfos is going to forget, and the whole difficulty, and the whole pshat, he's going to forget that. So what he'll walk away with is that he got reward. His mind will be attuned to thinking. Every discipline has its own system of logic. Mathematics has a system, and physics has a system, and chemistry has a system, and halacha has a system. So if a person works hard to figure out something shmaita, a difficult thesis, a difficult gemara, so he may forget the whole daf gemara, but his mind will already be attuned to learning other gemaras. He'll be able to think straight to figure out other gemaras now.
What's the use of duchka? The fact that I got
sick
fetched, but I got nothing out of
the
shir, what is the...
No, he got the b'shas ma'aseh, he probably did understand the shir, but he's going to forget that. So the main reward that he's going to get is because he was ma'aseh nefesh for the shir, that he was sitting in an uncomfortable position. So for that, he deserves reward. He deserves reward for learning also, but that's going to be the lesser of the two rewards. The more reward is going to be for the mesiras nefesh for Torah, that he was sitting in an uncomfortable position. Then Gemara says, Agra de Beit Tamya, when you go to be Menachem Oval, the main reward is not so much for what you say, the main reward is for what you don't say. Shtikusa. Best thing is not to say too much. People a lot of times go to be Menachem Oval, so they babble about what happened in the last 30 years, who got married and where the grandchildren live, and how old this one is, who's single, who's married, who got divorced. They talk about everything under the sun. So that's all a violation of the laws of Nechama Abayim. We're supposed to talk about the Neis and Priya Sundays and the sun. The Gemara says the main reward for going to be Menachem Oval is for the Shtikusa, but they're not talking. Agra Taneisa Tzidkusa, the main reward that a person gets when a person fasts on Atonis. So the Gemara has later different tefillahs at the different the end of the second parak. The Gemara has different tefillahs at different Amarayim here, Yud Zainim and Aleph. To Zainim and Beis, Yud Zainim and Aleph. Each one of the Amarayim used to offer his own personal prayers. So the Gemara has in the middle of Yud Zainim and Aleph. Rav Sheshes ki have Yosef b'Taneisa, when he would fast on a Tainis, Basa the Matzli after he finished the Shmoneh Esrei Amahachi. It's by the tiny letter Beis on Yud Zainim and Aleph. Ribono Hu Olamim, Galui Biyoto. Galui lefanecha b'zman shebeis hamikdash kayam adam choyte makriv korban. When a person sins, he brings a korban. Ei makriv yemenu alechel b'vadam. A miskapala, he gets an atonement just because they brought the chel b'vadam. Achshav yoshavti b'taynis. I just fasted a whole day. He offered this prayer at mincha. When it's my chel b'vadam, I lost a little weight from the fasting, and I lost a little blood from not eating healthy foods. Yiratzam lefanecha. The blood and the fat that I lost a little bit today should be considered. You should accept my fasting as if I had offered a carbon. So the Gemara says that fasting in a certain sense is considered like having brought the carbon. But the Gemara says, but then he's going to eat after the tonus is over. He says he's going to regain all the weight and he's going to gain extra. He's going to eat extra after he finishes eating. So what's going to be left from the whole Tanis? So the Gemara says the main reward that you get for fasting is really from the side point, the tzidkus, that on every Tanis they used to collect the money and distribute it for tzedakah. So that's the main reward. It's not so much when the fasting and miyat chal b'vadam. That's what the Tanis is supposed to be. Miyat chal b'vadam should be considered as if you had offered a carbon. But the most important reward that one gives is that he gives tzedakah. Mishnah Berurah quotes from the Achrayim that a person should give at least that amount of money that he saved for not eating meals. He would have had breakfast and he would have had lunch and it would have cost him $1.50 for breakfast and $2.50 for lunch, whatever. And now he's only having supper, so he's probably going to have a supper twice as big. Then it cost him more. So the Mishnah Berurah assumes it's going to cost the same for the supper. And that $5 that he would have spent on breakfast and lunch, that he should give away to himself. So that's the main reward that a person gets for fasting is really the reward for giving the tzedakah. Agra de hesped deluya, the main reward that a person gets for delivering a hesped is that he cries about the fact that someone died. Agra de behilule milay. Behilule means a wedding. So Rashi writes on the top of the second column, milay l'samech achas medvar. Hayu m'samech achas medvar. He say jokes, he say a drasha. That's why many in Europe, they used to give drushes, major drushes at weddings. But not everybody holds a drusha. One person used to hold a drusha. So what's Agra de Behilule Mila? So Rashi says, "Sameach achasim adram." You sing the gurim, you say jokes, whatever. The main reward for participating in a wedding is to be mesameach achasim. Okay.
Have a part for you, running to shul, but then if a person stands there and the rest of them loses, does that take away from that? In other words, he wants to go to shul in a hurry.
Yeah.
And then he comes and he takes them.
Oh. I mean, until he starts dying. That's not right. That's not right. No, no. We hope we do get schar. Okay. Then the Gemara talks about what position should a person be in when he davens in the shul. Kolam espal achuri beisak nes nikru rosha. What's going on over here? So Rashi has a comment on the second column. The Tosfos is printed on Amud Aleph. The Tosfos really belongs on Amud Beis. That's what it says, Shaykh Amud Beis. The printer left out all the Tosfos on Amud Beis. He just put it in Rashi, two columns of Rashi. So there's a machlokes, Rashi and Tosfos, how to read over here. So first of all, Rashi refers you to the Tosefta Megillah Perigimel. That is often violated. There are special dinim when you build a shul, when you build a Beis HaMedrash, how are you supposed to build it? Usually they don't consult any Rabbanim when they build a Beis HaMedrash. They build it wrong, and then b'di'evet, the Rabbanim say, okay, b'di'evet, they made it, so we'll leave it the way it is. So one of the dinim that they don't ask about is this Tosefta, that a Beis HaKnesses is supposed to be, Beis HaKnesses, Beis HaMedrash, is supposed to be patterned after a Beis HaMikdosh. The Beis HaMikdash, the entrance is facing the Aron Kodesh. So whichever way the Aron Kodesh is, if you live in China, which is to the east of Eretz Yisrael, and then you're going to daven facing west, so the Aron Kodesh should be in the west, and the opening, the door, the Pesach, Beis HaKnesses, should be in the east, Mechuvan Keneged, the west. If you live in, Johannesburg, is south of Yerushalayim, so you face north, I guess, when you daven. So the Aron Kodesh should be in the north, and the opening should be in the south. Should be in Pchuvinter. If you live in, I don't know, what's straight ahead? St. Petersburg? I don't know. Something like that. If you live over there, so you should face south when you daven. So the Aron Kodesh should be in the south, and the Pesach of the Beis HaKnesses should be in the north. And if you live in America, so the Aron Kodesh should be in the east, and the Pesach of the Aron Kodesh should be in the west. That's what Tosfos writes, that the whole Rashi is working on the assumption that you're living in China and you're facing Eretz Yisrael to the west, but we live to the west of Eretz Yisrael, so we're supposed to face the east. That's the end of the Tosfos. Avalonu mispadalim everything farket, because we live in Ma'arava shel Eretz Yisrael. That's the Tosfos on Amud Aleph. Okay, so that's number one. That the Pesach of the Beis HaKnesses should be mechuvan keneged the Aron Kodesh, and the Aron Kodesh should be in the direction that everyone's supposed to daven, and which is that direction we're supposed to daven. So that's what Tosfos quotes from the pasuk in Malachim Aleph, chapter Ches. Ispala Alecha Derech Arson. The Gemara later quotes on the Aplamen that Shlomo Melech in his tefillah said three lashonos: Ispala Alecha Derech Arson, Ispala Alecha Derech Lir Azos, so Ispala Alecha Derech Habayis Azeh. So the Gemara says if a person is davening a Chutz Loretz, he should face Eretz Yisrael. When he davens, if the person is davening in Eretz Yisrael, he should face Yerushalayim, and if the person is in Yerushalayim, then he should face the Beis HaMikdash. So the correct way to organize the shul is that the Aron Kodesh should be in the direction of Eretz Yisrael. Shaila over here is, what if the we have it all the time, we have the Aron Kodesh and the Beis HaMedrash is not facing the direction of Eretz Yisrael. So that's a machlekes, Rashi and Tosfos. So what's the din? Which direction are you supposed to face? So Rashi seems to hold, so the Mishnah Berurah points this out in Bir Halacha. Rashi seems to hold that once you establish where your Aron Kodesh is, so whether you put it right or wrong, now you're supposed to face the Aron Kodesh. And Tosfos says, no, there is no such din, you face the Aron Kodesh. As if the Aron Kodesh represents the Rabbanu Shalom, and everybody should face the Aron Kodesh, they should face the Rabbanu Shalom when they're davening. And Tosfos says, no, everyone should face Eretz Yisrael. You should put the Aron Kodesh in the direction so that everyone who's going to be facing the Aron Kodesh will be facing Eretz Yisrael. But according to Tosfos, there is no such din, you have to face the Aron Kodesh. Where does it come in? The Machlokes Rashi and Tosfos, they're talking like this. Let's say you have an Aron Kodesh, have a shul, this is the shul, and this is the Aron Kodesh. So everybody's going to, and let's say, which way is Eretz Yisrael? Let's say Eretz Yisrael is over there. So the Aron Kodesh is over here, and everybody's facing Eretz Yisrael. Fine. Now, one guy is davening Shemoneh Esrei. He couldn't run into shul. He's too late for shul, because the entrance to the shul is over here, and it's a very long shul. So if he's going to walk all the way to the entrance, he's going to come late, then they're going to finish davening. So he's going to daven right over here, in front of the shul. So which direction should he face? So Rashi says he should face the Aron Kodesh. So all the people in the shul are facing this direction, and he's facing the Aron Kodesh, opposite directions. That's how Rashi reads, that's the correct practice to do. So he says, what do you mean? They're facing opposite direction. It looks like they're praying to different gods. The Gemara says, you're not allowed to face the wrong direction, whatever the wrong direction is, because it looks as if you believe in two different gods. Kedol bar kaimis, kami morach, as if they're praying to a different deity. So Rashi learns, the correct practice should be everyone should face the Aron Kodesh. So the fellow who's outside of the shul, in front of the shul where the Aron Kodesh is, he should face the Aron Kodesh. Taisa said, that's ridiculous. They're all facing Eretz Yisrael, so you should also face Eretz Yisrael. Just the opposite. So Rabbeinu Yonah, as quoted in Shulchan Aruch, Rabbeinu Yonah says, you should avoid standing over here. It's time to daven. Don't stand in front of the Aron Kodesh and the outside of the shul. Then you're going to have a machlekes Rashi and Taisa, which way to face. Go into the shul. Or if you can't go into the shul, it's too late. You're going to miss the whole davening. So stand on the side of the shul. On this side. So at least you'll be facing the same. You'll face the Aron Kodesh, which will be facing Eretz Yisrael, the same direction. Yeah, but the shul is, what if everybody's in the shul and the Aron Kodesh is in the wrong direction? So then it seems to be a machlekes, Rashi and Tosfos. So we should always avoid it. We should always build the shul in such a way that facing the Aron Kodesh will mean that you're facing Eretz Yisrael. But if it's built wrong, so we basically accept the Tosfos shita.
In some shuls you see the Aron Kodesh is off to the side. It's almost impossible to face it. I mean, usually in something that wasn't built as a shul, built as something else, like in a hospital or a nursing home, you see the Aron Kodesh is off to the side. Would Rashi say even then that everybody should face that corner?
I think so. I think that seems to be Rashi's position here. Even the fellow outside has to face the opposite direction from all the people inside, because Rashi holds the dinners you have to face the Aron Kodesh.
Wait, the Aron Kodesh or the wall with the Aron Kodesh is on?
Right.
I mean, it's like if you have to build a shul like a semicircle that everyone is facing the middle. Meaning, if you have a shul like this and the Aron Kodesh is in the middle and you're sitting on the left side, you're not.
No. You're also facing the Aron Kodesh, Mustafa. It's also okay.
Especially if you're at the wall, then you're clearly not facing that. Mm-hmm. When you look at this in 1927, the shul was the first was in west. The Aron Kodesh was standing, and you should go to
this Medrash at all, so you moved it to at least closer to the other
direction. Originally, the Aron Kodesh was
facing west. West is that side. The other direction
of Las Vegas.
I mean the left side is west.
When I first came here, you used to go to the East Medish until they moved it.
Mm-hmm.
They moved it to the north.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so the Netziv has a tshuva about this. So he said, he shows in the Meishu Torah about Hankin learned in Balazhin. So he quotes the tshuva from the Nesid that if the Aron Kodesh is in the wrong direction, so he says we should always avoid getting involved in the Machlokes Rashi and Tosfos. That's what Rabbeinu Yonah says. That's what the Shulchan Aruch quotes. Mechaber quotes Rabbeinu Yonah. But if you can't avoid it, you got involved. So it says Mikra Adin. We follow Tosfos.
There's no problem with having your back to the Aron Kodesh in that situation.
I don't know. One of the Rabbanim told me that he asked Rabbi Yashiv, one of the Rabbanim from Chicago told me, he asked Rabbi Yashiv about it, must have had a problem. So he said if the Aron Kodesh is to the right or to the left, so everyone should face Eretz Yisrael instead of facing your Aron Kodesh. But if it's exactly the opposite direction, he says you're not allowed to daven in that shul. So I don't understand exactly what that is. There is a din out of Kovet Sefer Torah, you're not allowed to have your back to the Sefer Torah. So the Taz and Yeridea, when the Shulchan Aruch quotes this, one is not permitted to turn his back to the Sefer Torah. So the Taz asks the question, but the rabbi gets up and he gives a sermon and he stands in front of the Aron Kodesh, which has the Sefer Torah. He always has his back to the Sefer Torah. So the Taz answers that the Aron Kodesh has the dimensions, it's at least 10 tefachim tall, and it's dalal adalal tefachim. So it has the dimensions of a reshus difnei atzmai. So therefore it's considered as if the Sefer Torah is in a different room. So the prohibition of having it back to the Sefer Torah doesn't apply. So Machrayim write that this is only the rabbi, because the rabbi gives a drasha every week. But the bar mitzvah bacher is only once in his lifetime. He gets up in front of the shul and he holds a drasha. He should not stand in front of the Aron Kodesh. He should stand to the side, to the right side or left side. I don't understand why. Why? I would have thought the reverse. The rabbi violation every week. Why is it only mutaf every week? I don't understand. I remember for many years I used to give a shir in the Young Israel of Forest Hills. I used to give the shir in the shul. I used to sit at a table with my back to the Aron Kodesh. The table was right in front of the Aron Kodesh. So this one rabbi came, attended the shir. He was the brother-in-law of Rabbi Moshe Feinstein. So he used to live in the Midwest. When he moved to New York, when he retired, he moved to New York. So he attended the shir. So at the end of the shir, he said, Yashikoyach, enjoy the shir, Rabbi, but he's not going to come again because you're not allowed to have your back to the Aron Kodesh. Goodbye. It says every day that it's mutter. I don't know.
So the shulam arts are here, where they have you the Aron Kodesh is way off in the corner, and when you face down, you see Makom Nikdash. This is how it's being faces directly to Habayis. You see the Nikdash. The way that shul is built, would that be according to both Rashi and Tosfos?
Yeah, l'chatchila, the Aron Kodesh should be in the same direction where you're supposed to face.
They want to make it that way so it doesn't block the window, because through the window, you see Makom HaMikdash itself.
Should make a different Aron Kodesh. Move it over somewhere so it shouldn't block the vision. Yeah.
The Aron is on the wrong side and everyone faces that side.
Mm-hmm.
So should one who's diving there also face that side, or make himself stand down and face the other way?
No. It says in the Behetiv quotes that if I'm the only one who's going to daven in the right direction, so that's not right. You shouldn't be parish menat tziva. But if you can get the whole tziva to face the correct direction, so then you should.
Is there an opinion that if the Aaron is going to be on the wrong side for logistic reasons, to have a second smaller Aaron or a bookshelf with Sfarim in the right direction? Like if it's in a corner, if the whole room is in a corner, and that each would be in a corner. There's no...
I don't think so, no.
Would southeast be okay? It's going towards the south a little bit. Does it have to be specific?
Yeah. We face a little bit, if you face the east, you're not really facing Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael is a little southeast. But if you daven too much southeast, then you're facing Johannesburg. It's a holy city, but not as holy as Jerusalem.
What about with regards to when people want to eat in a base census, does the same dinner apply with regards to, because often you go to shul, they have a kiddush, and they'll set up the kiddush inside the shul. I know there's a shul like this in Johannesburg, if they daven in the shul, and they'll set all the tables together, everybody sits down, and they have the kiddush in the shul. Are they relying on that, on that that the Aaron is a Rishus Bikne Atzmoy to make a suit in the shul, but they're probably shouldn't eat in the shul?
Well, the Aaron is a Rishus Bikne Atzmoy doesn't help. The shul is still the shul.
Right.
Even if you take out the Aaron Kodesh, the shul still has a Kedushas Beis HaKnesses. You're not allowed to eat in the shul. So many shuls, they rely on the kula that the Sudas Mitzvah is mutter. Gemara says that, why did we say Kiddush in shul? If we pass in Kiddush al Makom Suda, so why do we say Kiddush should be a bracha levatol? Gemara says the motzi the orchem idechayvasim who eat and drink and sleep in the shul. So Tosis says, how can they eat and drink and sleep in the shul? So Tosis says maybe they eat in the shul. They're eating Suda Shabbos. Maybe that's the Makom Mitzvah Suda Mitzvah. Then one opinion in the Rishonim is that Bati Knesiyah Shem Bavel al Tanai Heim Asuyim. The Gemara says that all the shuls in Babel and Chutz Laaretz are built ala Tanai. So the Mishnah Berurah quotes, there's a big machlokes harishanim. The Tanai only means bichur banam after the shul is no longer used as a shul. It's already bottled. So then, Batik Nisirshe b'chutz Laaretz, you're allowed to use it for Dibrecho, or even b'midyanim, even when it's still used as a shul. So there is a minority opinion that Batik Nisirshe b'babel al Tanai heim asayim, even b'midyanim, it's also mutter to use it. So those that make a kiddush in the shul, so they make all the tzir of these two sheets. Maybe batik in Eretz Yisrael it's not right. Batik in Eretz Yisrael b'chutz laaretz, maybe afilu b'binyanim is mutter to use it for divrei chol, and maybe a kiddush is a sudas mitzvah. So one opinion of Tosfos is that that's mutter even with batik in Eretz Yisrael. So it's a tzir of these two svarim.
Would there be an issue of losus kodesh if you have losus kodesh
let's say 60% of the people facing, you know, towards Israel and 40% facing towards Aaron?
Yeah, says it's not right. Everyone should face the same direction. I read all about it in one of the newspapers. No, they just wrote, they keep on writing about it. Why your newspapers, yeah.
What about curtain, closing a curtain? Maybe before a drasha or something, a blocked arm.
What would Rav Moshe Feinstein's brother-in-law say? And Shulchan Aruch says mutter the way it is. You don't have to put the curse. Unless you have an Aron Kodesh like the Chever Kadisha has a teeny weeny Aron Kodesh that doesn't have dalar al dalar tfachim. So it's not a Vishus Bifnei Atzma. But a normal Aron Kodesh has dalar al dalar. So it's a Vishus Bifnei Atzma. So the Tzah says it's Sefer Torah is in a different Vishus, a different room. So the dinim don't apply. When you take out the Sefer Torah and the laid in Kriyas HaTorah on the Shulchan, so then that's when you're pashtus, that's when you have the real din. You're not allowed to have your back to the Sefer Torah because it's not in a different rishus. Now it's in the same rishus where we are. So everyone is supposed to be facing the Sefer Torah. So the Prima Gadim writes, he has a suffix. Since the shulchan is 10 tefachim tall and top of the shulchan is dalet al dalet, but it doesn't have walls on the bottom. It's not a rishus bifnei atzma. It's not a rishus ayochet bifnei atzma. So he's mesupik. Maybe since it's dalet al dalet on top and it's 10 tefachim tall, maybe it's not forbidden to have your back to the Sefer Torah. He's not sure. So, but that for sure a person should be...
Doesn't the Mishnah Berurah say that the only shuls today are built in Manhattan, especially north and south? You stand, the island faces the Aron Kodesh, but at least your head you should turn.
Eretz Yisrael.
Your head you should turn to Mishnah.
No.
I think that he's not like that. There had to be the Chalkas Bechagek that's issue, but I think the Mishnah Berurah says that you should turn your head to Mizrach.
I mean, even though the rest of the people in the shul are not, you should turn a little bit to Mizrach.
You're right, you should turn to
Mizrach. Yeah. There are shuls where the Aron Kodesh is in not facing Eretz Yisrael. Now when it comes to Shmon Esrei, everybody faces Eretz Yisrael. Everybody turns around. That's the way it should be.
Yeah, but in most shuls, everybody faces the Aron Kodesh. The question is, as an individual, what you should do. From my experience, where I live, none of the shuls have the Aron Kodesh of Israel. But they're all either north or south. Mm-hmm. The island faces the
Aron Kodesh. They follow Rashi. They didn't graduate. They have to graduate to learn Tosis. First time, Daf Yomi people, first time you learn Shas, you learn with Rashi. Second time you learn with Tosis. We're ready, we're graduating. We learn Tosis. And Shulchan Aruch, we assume like that. Then it's like Tosis. There's a Tosis later, Daf Chesam and Aleph. Top Tesis on Chesem and Aleph is commenting on the Gemara. Second line from the bottom of the Daf. The Gemara is talking about Kriyas HaTorah. So the Gemara says, Rav Sheshes Mahader Ape, he would turn his back, he would turn his face away from the Kriyas HaTorah. They were learning Kriyas HaTorah here, he would turn his back to the Sefer Torah Vigoris, and he would learn Torah Shabbat Peh, Girsa. He wouldn't pay attention to the Kriyas HaTorah. What kind of business is that? Omar, he said, Anan Bididan, Dina Biditu. I learn what I have to learn. I have to learn Mishnayos. I have to learn Torah Shabbat Peh, and they have to hear Kriyas HaTorah. So Tosis is bothered with Akasha, Vim Taima, the top Tosis on Chesem and Aleph. Armina Besoito, Daf Lamites, Mai Dichsiv, Uki Pischoi, Omdu, Kol Ha'om. This was on Rosh Hashanah. They built the second day Samigdash, and they opened up the Holy Temple for the High Holidays. So they opened up on 2 days Rosh Hashanah. They opened up on the first day Rosh Hashanah. And then it says, and they called up Ezra, was a Kohen, he got the first Aliyah, and it says, Baruch Hu Es Hashem Amvarach. The whole Kriyas HaTorah, as we observe it today, is described in Nehemiah chapter Ches. Nehemiah is part of Sefer Ezra, it's the same Sefer. So it says, Uki Pischoi Omdu Kohom. And when they opened up the Sefer Torah, everybody stood up, Omdu. So the Gemara says, the word Omdu is not to be taken literally in the sense of Omdu, to stand up, no. That's the Maram Rutenberg had a Midas Chassidus. He used to stand up during Kriyas HaTorah, but he didn't require of all the Balabatim in the Shul they should stand up. He stood up out of Kavod HaTorah, but the others, he didn't insist anyone has to stand up. If he would have insisted, they would have stood up. He didn't. It's a Chumrah. The Gemara says that when it says, Omdu, Kim Shiniftach Sevetar Osa Vosape, you're not allowed to schmooze, you're not allowed to talk. Afilu B'Devar Alochi, you're not allowed to talk in learning either. Omdu means Ein Amida El Ashtika, means that everyone was quiet. When you open up the Sefer Torah, everybody has to be quiet. So Tosis is bothered with Akasha. What do you mean? Rav Sheish is Mahadar Api Vigorins. He turns his back to the Sefer Torah. And he's reciting Mishnayos, Girsa Mishnayos, and Torah Shabbat Peh. You're not allowed to. You have to pay attention to the Kriyas HaTorah. What's going on over here? So Tosis rattles off a whole bunch of suggestions. V'yesh lo'imar, maybe the Teretz is Hasamari b'kol rom, k'dei sh'lei batal kol Kriyas HaTorah. V'achari b'nachas. Here it means that he's mumbling Mishnai softly under his breath. And over there the Gemara says, also the sapping, not allowed to talk out loud because you'll disturb all the others. What's going on? So the Rav Sheshes is not yet to Kriyas HaTorah. So the Mishnah Berurah quotes some Rishonim say he already heard Kriyas HaTorah. He davened in the first minute, he heard Kriyas HaTorah. Others say, no, he didn't hear Kriyas HaTorah. Kriyas HaTorah is a Chayvus HaTziva, not a Chayvus HaYochid. And he had so much learning, he had a Pchina coming up the next day. So whatever, he had a Chazah for the Pchina. He couldn't pay attention to Kriyas HaTorah. Different suggestions. Very strange. The Mishnah Berurah prefers the other answer, that he davened in early in Yishen Gehev Kriyas HaTorah. But Tosis says it's still Kimish Nitach Zevetar also the Saper. So that Tosis answers that's only be called Rom and Menachas and Balachash is Muta. So why was he Mahadarape? Ravusa Mashma Apagav the Mahadarape Shinir Kiminir Zevetar Shabadam Mahadarape. Not that the Davke Mahadarape, that even though he turned his back to the Zevetar, it's still Muta. Why stuck in Muta? How are you allowed to turn your back to the Zevetar? It's problematic. And Tosis quotes the Rif. Rav Alfa's cost of the Ochik, the Halachas Gedolos Meforshim. The Rif quotes in the name of the Sefer Halachas Gedolos. Daf Kesheiv Shem Asar Achrini Oz Yochel Ilmar Avolim Shem Asar Kiim Imo Lo. Then you're not allowed because you need a minion. Here it's talking there was a minion without him. Okay. So the Tosis there in Soita also talks about Ayn Tosis Soita Lamentes Amidal. Tosis in Soita gives other answers. So one of the answers of Tosis there is. That is Dafke Mahadarapi, not like they wrote originally. But either call Mahadarapi, Ravusa Mashma, Avagad Mahadarapi, Shnirikim, Minich Sefer Torah, it's still Shapatan. Even that's also Mutan. It's problematic. Why is it Takamutan? Why is it Takamutan to turn you back to the Sefer Torah? It's in the same issues. That's what the Prima Gadim raises the possibility. Maybe it's talking that the Sefer Torah was on a Shulchan that was a Rishus Bifnaat, but they had walls. Our Shulchan, sometimes it does have walls. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it has taka all the four walls. It is a Rishus Bifnaat on all the four sides, yeah. If it would be a shulchan like this, it only has two walls, missing the other two walls. So it's not a Rishus Bifnaat. No. A lot of times the shulchan does have four walls. So the Alpidin is taka Rishus Bifnaat. So the Tosis there gives another teretz. Tosis in Sota gives another teretz. That maybe Mahadarapi Shaini, maybe it's only Mutter to learn Torah if you turn your back to the Sefer Torah. You don't turn your back to the Sefer Torah, then it would be usur to talk in the Torah. Even Benachas not to call Ram, even though he already heard Kriyas HaTorah by the early Yemin. What kind of a Torah is that? So that's what Rav Soloveitchik suggests that maybe Pshat in the Tosis and Saita is based on the Pasuk in Nehemiah that it says, Kepischa Om the Kol Ram, and they opened up the Sefer Torah. Everybody was paying attention to the Kriyas HaTorah. So you thought maybe the din is that you're only mitztaref to the minion for Kriyas HaTorah if you're all facing the Sefer Torah. Whoever has his back to the Sefer Torah is not mitztaref to the minyan. How are you allowed to have your back to the Sefer Torah? Okay, so you got to figure out. Either like the Prima Gadim says, or because the Shulchan had four walls on it, so you don't need the Prima Gadim to rely on. But that's what Tosis suggests. Maybe only if Mahadarapi Shaini, then it's mutter. If he's not Mahadarapi, then it would be also, because he would be mitztaref to the minyan. Whoever doesn't face the Sefer Torah, Pshas Kriyas HaTorah, I swear that you're not yet in Kriyas HaTorah. That's what Rav Soloveitchik said. That he davened in a shul, he would daven all the way up in the front, and he would face the Mizrach Van. So when he came to Kriyas HaTorah, he would always turn around, because he thought that according to that Tosis in Sota, whoever doesn't face the Sefer Torah is not mitzarf to the minyan, you're not yet in Kriyas HaTorah. Those are the various suggestions, yeah. So Leshi pointed out when the Rambam in the beginning of Hilchas Tefillah writes that the Tefillah b'chol yom once a day every day is a din d'oraisa, and then the Rabbanon they instituted three times a day and four times a day and five times a day, and they instituted a specific nusach tefillah. So when the Rambam first writes what the din d'oraisa was, he includes nochach hamikdash, that you have to daven every day, once a day, every day facing the Beis Hamikdash. The Rambam seems to assume that pasuk from Melachim that the Tosis quoted, Tosis got the Gemara quotes on Daf Lamed, that you have to face here, Lamed Amad Aleph. Yisbal Alecha Derech Artsam, Yisbal Alecha Derech Ha'ir Azos, Yisbal Alecha Derech Ha'bayis Azir. The Gemara quotes right in the middle of Lamed Amud Aleph, all the three psukim from Malachim Aleph, chapter Ches. So from the Rambam is Mashma that he holds that that's a real din derais, and you have to daven Nochel Chamikdash. So he said that the Rabbanim, when they build the shul, they should be more medactic about that. They should put the Aron Kodesh in such a way that everyone is facing Eretz Yisrael. Otherwise, the wrong violation of this important din. Then the Gemara has a comment on the pasuk in Tehillim. Kirum zulos livnei adam, a very difficult pasuk. What is it referring to? So the Gemara has an interpretation. Such an important inyan that a person should recognize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has full control of everything in the world. And if you have any needs, you have to ask the Rabbanu Shalom to take care of it. And he loves us, so he'll certainly take care of it. Like if I need something, so I ask my father to help me out. You know, my father loves me, so if he has biyacholta to help me out, he certainly will. So the Rabbanu Shalom loves all of us. We have to realize that tefillah is dvar ham demerum shalolam, and b'ni adam amizalzalim bohem. So that's how the Gemara interprets kirum zulois livnei adam. As rum as it is, as lofty as important as the topic of davening it is, people are usually mizalzal. People are rolling up the tefillin and they're putting on the talis and they're taking off the talis and they're folding up the talis, doing everything while they daven. No one's paying attention to the daven. It's better to daven less. So say less davening. Says tov miyat b'kavana, mihar b'sholah b'kavana. It's better to daven less and have kavana than to daven so much and not to be mechaven while you're davening. The Gemara has another interpretation of the pasuk kirum zulos livnei adam, that when a person when a person doesn't have his independence, he doesn't make a living, and he has to ask for a handout, has to ask for an adob, if it's doke, pada mishtanis kikrum, his face, the humiliation will so be so terrible, his face will change colors like that bird. Krum is the name of a bird. When the sun starts to shine on this bird, v'sapich l'kama givonim. His whole, the bird changes different colors. So too, when a person is used to leading a normal life with dignity, and then he has to, he loses all of his parnasa, and he has to ask people for a handout, so his face will turn all kinds of colors. Is nidon kilo, nidon mishnei dinim, bana ba'ish of amayim. Okay. Then the Gemara says you should be careful when you daven mincha. Well, why the first mandama says mincha? Yeah, Shachris is before you go to work, and Maariv is after you finish. Mincha is in the middle of the day, when people are busy with college and with business and making a parnas and so on. So the Gemara speaks about the fact that that's when Le'yolah Mehiyodim Zor B'Tfilas HaMincha Sharei Le'yolah Nenele B'Tfilas HaMincha Shenema. Tfilas HaMincha shows that the person takes time out from his busy schedule in the middle of the day. He makes time to daven Mincha. Shachris and Maariv is easier, Mincha is a little more difficult. Then the next mandam is saying, no, Maariv is also important, Shachris is also important, everything is important. Okay. About all the mitzvahs, all the 630 mitzvahs, everything is important. But the first one number thought that mincha stands out. It's more important than the others. Then the Gemara has the famous comment, if you participate in a sudas chasana or in a sheva brachas, that's called the sudas chasan. Why is it a sudas chasan? In the days of the Gemara, the chasan used to pay for the suda. That's the Gemara in the first parak in Ksubis. The chassan comes to, he gets married on Wednesday, comes to Bezna Thursday morning, and he says the girl was Pesach Pasoch Matzasi, she's a Ba'ula. So we believe the husband. The girl says that it's not true. She was not Nivola. So why do you believe the husband? Maybe he's making up the story, maybe he just doesn't want to pay the ksuba. He doesn't want to pay so much ksuba. He only wants to pay ksuba's Ba'ula. He doesn't want to pay ksuba's Pasula. So the Gemara says, we assume he's not telling a lie because he just spent so much money on the party. And the days of the Gemara, that was the practice that the chosen paid for the whole party. That's why it's called the Sudas Chosen. Shaila is that Bizmanazer, usually the Kalas father pays for the dinner. So how come that din still is quoted in the Shulchan Aruch, that the chosen is believed the next morning when he comes to Bezen? How come the Chazaka still applies? Eidonim Terech the Sudam Afsidim. Rav Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva where he writes a chiddush that for the fact that it's still accepted halacha, you see that in the event that later they should get divorced, it's considered a loan. The girl's father is lending him the money, so as long as they're happily married together, so it's a loan. But in the event that they get divorced later, not only does the husband have to pay the ksuba with the tesefes ksuba with the nedunya, he has to pay up the loan. He has to pay the $50,000 that the girl's father laid out for the wedding. That's Rabbi Yishe's chiddush. That still bismanazet still called the sudas cost. Anyway, so the Gemara says if you participate in a sheva brachas and a chasana, you have to be misamech just to eat and drink and enjoy yourself, and not to be misamech the chasan kala. That's not proper. If you want misamech the chasan maskar, what type of reward do you deserve? So the first opinion is that zecher l'torah shenitam b'chamish shekar lo shenema, you'll be matzliach and learning. And the second one says that it's kilu hikriv korban toida shenema mevim toida beis Hashem. And the first madama says kilu bana achas michubis Yerushalayim shenema, also based on the same pasuk. Yeah, what do these three things represent? So some suggest the pshat as follows. The Gemara in Psochim on Daf Mem Tes discusses what constitutes a Sudas Mitzvah. Erev Pesach, the Mishnah has, Erev Pesach is supposed to destroy all the Chametz. Min HaTorah B'Bitul B'Yal Masag. If you Mevatel the Chametz, it's enough. And the Rabbanan made it clear, we're afraid that he may not be Mevatel B'Lev Shalem, or he may find the Chametz, he may be Mevatel the Chametz B'Lev Shalem, and then after, in the middle of Chalamay Pesach, he may find the Chametz. Shem Yimtzka Gluska Yofa, and he may forget and eat the Chametz. So with the Rabbanan, you're not supposed to rely on the Bitul, you should really destroy all the Chametz, or sell it, or get dispose of the Chametz. You shouldn't leave it in your house and just rely on the Bitul. So the Mishnah has a discussion. The fellow is driving to his in-laws for Yom Tov, and then on his way he realizes that he has Chametz in the house. So and it's early in the morning, early enough that he can still be Mevatel the Chametz. So should he rely on the Bitul? Let's say, and if he's going to go back home in order to dispose of the chametz, so he won't be able to arrive at the parents of the in-laws. He won't be able to make it for Yom Tov. So to what extent do we insist that one should observe this takana de rabbanon, this din de rabbanon, that you have to dispose of the chametz, destroy it, you shouldn't rely on bittul. So the Mishnah says it depends. If he's going with bar mitzvah, then with mekel, he can rely on the bittul. If he's only going with bar ashus, so then we insist he has to drive back and lose his chance of visiting wherever by the family, and he should fulfill the din de rabbanon that you have to dispose of the chametz. So the Gemara gets into a whole discussion there. Then you look in the Shulchan Aruch and the Arachaim and the Prima Gadim there, the Magen Avraham, Mishneh Berurah, Prima Gadim. They go into all the details what constitutes a Sudas Mitzvah: 70th birthday party, 50th wedding anniversary party, 25th wedding anniversary party, engagement party, marriage, erisin, nisuin, 7 days, the first meal, the rest of the meals. More goes into details. See in the Sichta, what's considered a Sudas Mitzvah, what's not. So the Gemara there, in the middle of the discussion, the Gemara says, it's only considered a Sudas Mitzvah by a wedding if it's a Talmid Chacham getting married. If it's a person not a Talmid Chacham, it's not a Sudas Mitzvah. Why? The mitzvah to get married only applies to Talmid Chacham. How can it be? Non-Talmid Chacham don't have a mitzvah to get married, raise a family. It doesn't make any sense. So the answer is, you don't throw a party every time you do a mitzvah. When we put on talis and tefillin every day, we don't throw a party. When we shake a lulav, you don't throw a party. Why do you throw a party when you get married? Why do you consider that a sudas mitzvah? So the Gemara seems to be assuming, because the Gemara has a comment in Yevamos, in the end of Perek the end of Perek Habo Yevimtoi, but the whole sugya of Piriviriviya appears. So the Gemara says, "Hashori b'lo yisha, shori b'lo Torah." One who's single is not married, so he's missing a lot of things in life, missing the joy of life and some of the other things, and he's missing Torah. Means as much Torah as the person learns, he's still missing more. If he would have been married and he would have learned, then he would be zeichet to be matzliach more in learning. So, if a Talmid Chacham gets married and he's interested in continuing to learn on after he gets married, so that's like a new Kabbalah Satar. And the Gemara says that the Kovet Kabbalah Satar, the Gemara says, there was a Machlekes, Rabbi Lezer, Rabbi Yeshua, how one is supposed to observe Pesach in Sukkot and Rosh Hashanah. Should you have elaborate meals, or just regular tuna fish sandwiches, the same as every other weekday? You don't have to have special elaborate meals. So So the Gemara says, but whatever you say on Pesach and on Sukkot, how come Moedim Batzeres on Shavuos, the Bina Nami Lachem, you have to have elaborate meals on Shavuos more so than on Pesach and on Sukkot? Why? Because Yom Shenitim Batar, the Kavod Kabbalas HaTorah, you have to have an elaborate meal to express your gratitude that this is a milestone in your life. Kabbalas HaTorah is something very important. So then the Gaonim have the Girsa that not only on Shavuos do you have to have an elaborate meal, on Purim also. The Gemara says that we have the Girsa in the Gemara of Purim because Mishta. So the Gaonim had the Girsa that it's also Kabbalah Satar. Kima v'kiblu kima mashikiblu kvar. The reason why Purim was singled out from all of the 50-odd Yom Tovim in the Megillas Tainus that are celebrated, only Purim is the one that has a Suda, is because Purim had a new Kabbalah Satar, Kima v'kiblu. So when a chassan gets married also, if he's a person who is interested in learning and he's going to continue learning after he gets married, says marriage is a new Kabbalah Satar. So the Gemara says it only constitutes a Suda's mitzvah if he's a Talmid Chacham. So then his marriage is a new Kabbalah Satar. If he's not a Talmid Chacham, fine, he's doing a mitzvah. So it's like shaking a lulav, like putting on talis and tefillin. You don't throw a party every morning because you're doing mitzvahs. We're happy we do mitzvahs, but we don't go so much overboard. We don't throw parties all the time. The special party is only if it's a Talmid Chacham is getting married. So his marriage is going to constitute a new Kabbalah Satar. So then the Mordechai quotes from the Maharam Rutenberg, what if a non-Talmid Chacham gets married? So it's not a Suda's mitzvah. There's no way to make it into a Suda's mitzvah. So he says, the Maharam Rutenberg says, if you sing Shiras v'Sishbachos, if you praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu, express your gratitude that they found each other, that they're happily married, happy to have gotten married to each other, so then you convert it into a Suda's mitzvah because then it's a Suda's Hoidoyah. You're thanking the Rabbanu Shalom over the fact that you got married. So that's quoted by the Ramon Hilchas Chanukah. Ramo says that the Suda's that you eat on Chanukah are all Suda's of Rishus. It's not a Suda's mitzvah, but if you want to convert the Suda's, you want to convert the Chagigah into a Suda's mitzvah, if you sing Shiras with Sishbachas to HaKadosh Baruch Hu over the Nitzochon of the Chashmonoim, over the Yeshuas that he gave us on Chanukah, then you convert it into a Suda's Hoidoyah. So then you'll make it into a Suda's mitzvah. So it could be that this is the Kavan of the first two opinions in the Gemara. The first one says, if you're misamech the chas and neschor, what reward do you deserve? The Gemara says, zecha the Torah shenitim b'chamisha kerlis. Why should it be zecha the Torah? So it could be that it's midah kineged midah. The one who's getting married is zecha talmid chacham. The Gemara says in Pesachim like that. It's only considered a Suda's mitzvah if it's a talmid chacham is getting married. It's not a talmid chacham. It's not a Suda's mitzvah b'chlam. So if you're participating in the Suda's hachasaneh, Suda's chasen, because of the fact that the chasen is a talmid chacham, so you're participating because this is a new Kabbalah Satar. So midah kineged midah, you'll be zecha l'tar. You'll be matzliach more in learning because you came to be mechabed the chasen that he's going to be matzliach more in learning. And then the Maharam Rutenberg said, in addition to being a Suda l'kavod Kabbalah Satar, if the fellow is not a talmid chacham, so then you can convert it into a Suda's mitzvah by singing shiras v'sishbachos to make it into a Suda's hoidoyah. Suda's hoidoyah is based on the institution of korban toidah. The Netziv writes in his commentary on Chumash and the Meisha in the Heimlich Dover that we have such an institution of a Suda's hoidoyah patterned after the Suda's mitzvah of the korban toidah. So here also the Gemara says kilu hikur korban toidah. I mean, if they sang Shiras v'Sishbachos at the Chasana, expressing gratitude to HaKadosh Baruch Hu over the fact that they're both happily married, the Chas and Kala happily married, so you convert it into Suda's Hoidoyah, it's considered Kilehikr of Korban Toidah, because that's what Suda's Hoidoyah is patterned after. That's the Kain Daraisa, that's what the Netziv said. Then the third one in the Gemara says, Kilebanu Achas Mechuvas Yerushalayim Shenamar, what is that all about? So perhaps what the Gemara is driving at is the following. That the Gemara says in the end of Perek Abo Yiminta about having children, when a religious couple gets married, so we know that they plan to have a lot of children. When non-Jews get married, it could be that they made a deal, they're not going to have any children. But when religious Jews get married, we know they want to have a lot of children. So the Gemara says, Ein ben David bo ad shiuch l'kol neshama sheba guf. There's a chamber in heaven that's known as Guf, Gimel Vav Pei, and all the Jewish souls are located there in that chamber, whatever that means. And when all of those souls will be born into the war, into the world, every time another Jewish baby is born, so another soul comes down. So that hastens the coming of Mashiach. The Gemara has one opinion that that is the essence of the mitzvah of Pirei Berivyon. Even if Hoyol Abonim Amesu, even let's say a person was married and they had children and all the children die. So one opinion in Gemara is that you yotzei Pirei Berivyon, that the essence of the mitzvah is to hasten the coming of Mashiach. What can you do to hasten the coming of Mashiach? We don't have control over it. So Gemara said, we do have control. Every time another baby is born, so bringing another Jewish soul down into the world, and when all the souls will be born, then Mashiach will come. When all the souls will be born, so you won't be able to have any more Jewish children afterwards. How can that be? So the quote from Arizal, then you start recycling the soul. Then there'll be a Gilgal Neshamas. And a new generation, after Mashiach comes, new generation will be a Gilgal of the Dor HaMidbar. And he interprets it. That's why there's a pasuk in Yeshayah, I think, that says, "The cave of the side of Geber." That in the days of the coming of Mashiach, the women will be on a higher madrega than the men, because on the occasion of Yetzias Mitzrayim, it was Bischus Noshim Tzidkani Yisnigal Avasenim in Mitzrayim. And in the Midbar, the Dora Midbar, the Chet HaMeraglim, the women didn't go along with Chet HaEgel, the women didn't go along with the Chet HaMeraglim. And before Shemana Chumash said, if they would have sent female Meraglos, so the whole story would not have happened. It's because they sent men. The women were more attached to tradition. So the women were on high madrega. So that's what that Arizal interprets in that pasuk in Shadat. Lasi Lavoi, if the Mashiach comes, so they'll be recycling the souls from the Dor HaMidbar. So the women will be on a high madrega in the cave at the Seviv Gem. So perhaps that's what the Gemara means over here. When a religious couple gets married, and we're celebrating, so the Gemara says, is considered kina banachur b'achas mechubas Yerushalayim. We consider it as if we're celebrating in advance over the coming of Mashiach, because we know that this couple is going to have children. They're going to try to have a lot of children, and every time another baby is born, this hastens the coming of Mashiach. See, we don't accept that opinion anymore. We paskin hayol abonim umesu, if the children die, so you're not yotzei Pirei Berivyon. We don't accept that opinion that that's the essence of the mitzvah Pirei Berivyon. Pirei Berivyon, the mitzvah is to transmit Yiddishkeit to the next generation, so you have to have children who are alive. You have to be able to, the children have to be religious. We're going to see the Gemara later. The children have to be religious. That's what Chizkiyahu HaMelech told Yishayahu HaNavi, that he doesn't want to get married because he knows the children will not be religious. We're going to have to see that Gemara. That's a little later.
How would that, but then many
Gedolim
never had kids. I mean, they never
Mekayim
the Mitzvah.
If you don't have the children, you're not Mekayim the Mitzvah. That is correct.
Isn't it from the Rambam that if you
each parent, partial kiyama mitzvah, yeah. Right, that's what all the poskim say, that if a person can't have his own children, karma Hashem la sarisim, ashe yishmeru shav sasai, so they should support yeshivas. So if you help transmit Torah values to the next generation, that's a partial fulfillment of the mitzvah period. More correct is to have your own children and transmit the Yiddish values to them. And second best is machazikim bivresi, to support the yeshivas. So Torah will be taught, Torah will be transmitted to the next generation. So it could be that that's the third opinion in the Gemara. It's considered kila banachur b'achas mechubas Yerushalayim, that we're already celebrating in advance of the rebuilding of the Beis Hamikdash, because you know that this couple is going to have children. Religious people get married, they're going to have children. And all of the children who are born hasten the coming of Mashiach. Okay. Leonetta, tomorrow we'll continue the next Gemara.